Well, good evening, everyone, and a warm welcome to our evening service this Lord's Day, and in particular on this last Sunday of the month, starting this evening and for a number of months ahead. We plan to have our service as a gospel emphasis, an outreach emphasis, where we want to present the gospel and we want to give others opportunity to participate in the service. So I trust that as we meet tonight, we will indeed know the Lord's presence and blessing as always. But there will be a particular encouragement. If we are the Lord's people, we can rejoice in God our Saviour as we hear in word and song the message of the gospel. And if we're not yet saved, that the Lord by his word and his spirit would work in our hearts and lives. That's our plan. That's our purpose these last Sunday evenings. And you're warmly welcome to church this evening. And immediately and unashamedly, our emphasis is on Christ and the gospel. Now, I'm sure if you don't watch it regularly, you'll hear about and you'll read about lots to do with the X Factor, because it is a big hit television show and there's all sorts of news and media stories built around it. But I want to say tonight, right at the outset of our service, reverently and truthfully, the real X Factor is here before us in Christ and the gospel. If you look at the centre of our pulpit fold, you'll see a symbol, the PX, which is the Greek symbol for Christ. Christ is at the centre of all we do in our church, and as Christians, he's at the centre of everything we do in our lives. He's at the centre of our worship tonight. He's at the centre of our preaching when we present the gospel week on week as well as tonight. God's word tells us he's the way, the truth, the life. He's the only mediator between God and man. And he's the only name by which we must be saved. Our salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, plus nothing. So Christ is the centre of all we do, and our praise and our preaching and our worship tonight is unashamedly centred on him. And indeed, we're going to take that word, in Christ alone, and use it as our opening hymn. It's 1072, 1072, if you're using the book. It'll come up on the screen, a marvellous modern hymn of what Christ means and does for us in the gospel. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. 1072, let's stand and praise him. Stephen's going to come and lead us in a word of prayer in the opening of her service this evening. Stephen, thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, just come to you now, Lord, and we ask that you would bless our meeting tonight. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would accept our praise as our sacrifice to you. Heavenly Father, that you would accept our prayers tonight as pleas from our hearts. Heavenly Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would bless your word tonight, that it would touch hearts that need a fresh touch, Lord. Those that are amongst us here tonight that yet still don't know the Lord as their Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the simplicity of the gospel message. Lord, it's so simple that we all need the Lord. Not one of us here tonight. There's not one of us outside of this building tonight that doesn't need the Lord. Heavenly Father, for those that are without Christ in their lives, we pray for them tonight. We pray for those that are gathered amongst us that don't yet know the Savior as their Lord. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would speak into their hearts tonight. We heard this morning, Lord, from G.S. Narb, whenever he brought the message from 2 Kings chapter 4, and the simplicity of that message too, Lord. Yes, there was a message for those that were still outside of Christ, that they should accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior now as they accept the time. Heavenly Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would speak to hearts like that. But Lord, there was a message too for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We thank you, Lord, that we know your peace and your rest. Heavenly Father, too, there is a challenge for us. And this is the challenge of the gospel. That there are many still in this world without Christ. And so we're commanded, Lord, to take God's word out into the nations. And that starts here in our own church, in our own families, and in our own homes, in our own town. So, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you will stir us up, those who know and love you, Lord, as our Savior, that you would challenge us, Lord, build us up for that we might be like the lamp and shine out the light of the Lord. And we thank, too, Lord, of the message that Rodney brought to the group of men on Friday night. Whenever he used the illustration of the moon and how the moon has no light of its own, but it reflects the light of the sun. And so too we as Christians, Lord, should seek to be like the moon and be like the lamp that was brought in the word today, and that we should shine out the sun's love. That's the S-O-N, the sun's love. The love that we have for Jesus and that he has for us. And how we should be beacons here in our own fellowship, in our own families, in our own town. And how we should radiate God's love. And let us be an example to those around us. Heavenly Father, we just commit our service to you now, Lord. We ask that you would draw near unto us. And Lord, that we might feel your presence in a real and mighty way, Lord. Lord, for those listening on the internet tonight, Lord, that they might too be inspired and that they might too use this service, Lord, as a means of drawing near unto you and coming to that point in their lives where they just realize their need and turn to the Savior. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Going to invite Samuel just to lead us in two further pieces of praise centering on Christ and the gospel, and after those two pieces he'll sing a further solo piece for us this evening. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. The first of our hymns is going to be Majesty, and this is a great hymn of the gospel because again it just shows God's power. It says unto Jesus, be all glory, honor, and praise. And that's what we should do in our praise and worship. Just give our all to God in song. So let's sing Majesty. Continue by singing 1003, My Jesus, My Savior. Again, this is another great hymn of the gospel, and in the chorus, the words are, mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. And that just shows the great power and authority of God, and that is the God that we're here to worship tonight. So let's keep that in mind as we sing My Jesus, My Savior.
Thank you.
going to sing the song that I sang for the church CD that we made a couple of years ago. That night it took me and Darren the guts of 2 hours down here at the church to get it right, smiling back there. It was all my fault, so hopefully I won't be as bad tonight. It's called Mighty to Save.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Well, everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. The hope of nations. And move the mountains. My God is mighty to save, and He is mighty to save. Forever the author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Take me as you find me, all my fears abandoned. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save, and He is mighty to save. Forever the author of salvation, and He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. And shine a light and let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine a light and let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save, and He is mighty to save. Forever the author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. And Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save, and He is mighty to save. Forever the author of salvation, and He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Thank you, Samuel. Now at this point of our service, I'm going to invite four people from the congregation to join me here at the front, and to share with you some of their activity over the summer holiday season where they were part of Christian work or Christian outreach to different groups of people, some here in the town, some a little further afield in the province. But I think it's good and interesting that we hear of what they were doing, what they were involved in, and how they were serving the Lord over the summer holiday time. So if they'd like to come up and just sit along the front pew here so they're closer to the front, and then turn about, they can come and speak to us about their particular activity. Hannah? And Wilma and Tim and William, please. Hannah and Wilma and Tim and William. And they know in advance, and they have agreed in advance to participate, so they're not suddenly being chosen at random. And we thank them for that. And they've each got something different to talk about and share with us this evening. And I'm going to start with Hannah. Ladies first, and youngest first, as it happens to be too. So Hannah, you come and you speak from this microphone, and I'm told I'll work from the other microphone, so I trust that's the case. Lovely. Hannah has a t-shirt with us. She was part of a group called Spark. So maybe I'll let her start off by telling us what is this group, or what was the group Spark, and what were they doing in the town?
and she can show us the t-shirt too. That saying about they've been there and done that and got the t-shirt. Anna has the t-shirt too. Anna, go ahead.
Spark was really about evangelising through doing people's gardens and just cleaning up the general area. We also did kids clubs, and we met in the morning from 9 till half 10 and had a worship service. And then we split up into our groups after we got lunch and stuff. And it was really good because it just really gave us a boost and to do our general areas and that. And I was based in Dunclog, so it was quite hard because it was a Catholic area. And then you went in and you got like loads of abuse and all shouted at you, but you just had to ignore it and get on and just serve God.
How many of you were in the team in your area?
There was 18 of us in our team. We were the smallest team. All together who were doing Spark, there was over 300 young people.
All around Ballymena.
Yeah.
And all doing that practical type work.
Yeah.
Helping people in the area.
Mm-hmm.
But also trying to be a witness by being practical.
Yeah.
And you say you did kids clubs too. What age group were you working with there?
We were working with from maybe 5-year-olds to 11. We had them on like every afternoon from 3 till 5 just to like get them off the streets and to stop annoying the people who were doing the cleanup.
And how did you find it? Did you get many coming? How many had you coming along each day?
We had about 40 coming along each day, so it was a really good turnout.
And is there any continuing work? Is there still a contact kept in the district with the people you met at that time?
We actually went out last Friday just to see them all again. We went into Dunclog Estate and headed up to the park, and we wore our t-shirts so everybody knew who we were, and we just got like maybe about 40 kids following us up to the park, and then we played with them and asked them how they got on and stuff, so it was really good.
So there's still a contact. Show us the t-shirt. Everybody in the team then gets one of the t-shirts.
Yeah, and then it says, Jesus is my King on the back.
Very good. So it was a good practical witness and a chance to work with young people too.
Yeah.
Well done. Thank you. Wilma. Now, Hannah was working with a mixture of people, and especially young people there, and happened to be in the Dunclog Estate, although I know that work was going around other estates in the town as well. But Wilma, you weren't based in the town and you weren't working with young people. So I'll let you go ahead and explain to us what particular work you were involved in and how you were helping this summer.
Well, I'm a helper in the Ballymena branch of the Disabled Christian Fellowship, and each summer, and usually the week after the 12th in July, we go down to Newcastle to the holiday home, which is called Longfield House, and we spend a week there with all together. There was 13 helpers, and then there were 40 of us all together.
Where is that house?
It's at the back of Granada.
Oh, Newcastle?
In Newcastle, round towards Kilkeelan, at the back of Granada.
Very good. And what type of activities were you involved in? How were you helping?
Well, you're assigned a person or maybe a couple of people to look after, and one of them, just with their personal care in the morning and helping them, get washed and dressed, and then down for breakfast. And some of them you just sort of have to keep a wee eye to them. They're usually maybe all right, and then others need more help. And then we have breakfast usually at 9 o'clock.
And what? How does the day unfold then?
Well, then after breakfast, the week that we are there, the Faith Mission Pilgrims are also based in Newcastle, and they come up at 10 o'clock each morning and do a wee epilogue with us from Monday to Friday. And then after that, there's a wee shop in the home, and part of it is like a charity shop, with clothes and bric-a-brac and whatever, shoes, handbags. And the other part is Faith Mission, like Bibles, tapes, CDs, and books and all, and things for children. So they love to get to that then, and then sort of just maybe not so much out in the morning, and then it was around to lunchtime. And after lunchtime, there's a bus with the home, and some of the helpers can have a license to drive. and we'd take them down in the bus and others walk, and we'd wheel some of them in their wheelchairs.
Free time in the afternoon.
And the afternoon. Yeah. And then one afternoon in the week, we have a walking treasure hunt, and Desi Montgomery always sets the clues, and so they all, you know, most of them enjoy that. Well, I enjoy it. And then one day in the week, we go away maybe to Newry to one of the shopping centres and take them all in a couple of hired buses. So, and then apart from that, it's just like shopping each afternoon. And then after tea in the evening, about 7:30, there's always a meeting, and there's a speaker, or it might be the speaker and singers, and then, or it might be one of the men who are helping will take the meeting, and then supper, and that's to bed then.
Well, it's a very important work, and it means those folks can have a holiday, a Christian fellowship holiday,
yes.
And there are people like yourself there to help them through the week. And give a plug, because the DCF doesn't just exist to go away once a week in the summer, but the Disabled Christian Fellowship works here in the town regularly.
Yeah, so we meet in Harryville Presbyterian Church Hall, and Mark also comes along as one of our helpers, and we have a meeting there the first Saturday of each month, and we have two of the trust buses, which we're very fortunate to have, to pick people up, and I help in the bus, one of the buses, and then we lost one, so we had to hire a bus. So it takes three buses, and then the rest come in, maybe with lifts or their own transport. Mm-hmm. So we have a speaker and singers. First of all, they have, when they get in and settle, they have a cup of tea. And then after that, we do a memory verse, and we have some singing, and then there's a speaker and singers who come along to take the meeting.
And that's the first Saturday of each month.
First Saturday of
so
each
month. So if anyone's
month.
Interested, they can make contact through yourself, and they'd be welcome to come, because
yes.
It's open, isn't it? It's
yes,
meeting.
Oh yes. And if they're not saved, that's the point of these meetings and these holidays too.
That's lovely.
Bring to the Lord.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Tim, we'll move on to you. Just the order you've all chosen to sit down in, that's fine. Now, Tim was away at one of the faith mission camps over the summer holiday, and it would have had a daily routine like Wilma's just been describing, but it probably was a wee bit different and maybe a wee bit more active in that daily routine with young people away at a camp. So give us a flavour of what it was like for a day in the life of at the camp.
Well, there was about six of us in the room, so if you're first in the shower, Jay, you were talking about 5-6 o'clock at the very latest for a shower.
In the morning,
in
is
in
that?
In the morning, yep. If you were first on the row for that day.
It wouldn't send me down.
And then
early,
some of the children could have been up from any time, really, any hour of the day. So just if you heard them, you had to go up to them. And then it was... they went to bed quite well, but 10 o'clock at night, and there's activities all through the day. I think they were tired out.
What would be a typical day's programme? Morning, afternoon, evening?
Meeting. You breakfast, then you have your meeting, and meeting would have been about 10:30, 11:00. Then it would have been lunch, and then there would have been always an afternoon activity. Went to Loch Goal Forest. We went to the zoo a day, and we went to the swimming pool, and then in the evening we would have dinner, and then you would have another meeting. There would have been an evening activity of some sort, maybe just kickabout football or
football,
something
yeah.
like that.
Very good. Very good. Many young people were there.
There was over 80 this year.
And where is the camp?
It's down in Portadown, the Faith Mission Centre in Portadown.
Right. They also run camps down in Newcastle?
Aye, the Greenhill YMCA Centre. That's for the 13 to 16 sort of age group. And then there's mine's about 7 to 11, 12.
So you were a helper with the
junior ones? Yeah.
Because you're old enough to be a helper with the juniors. And how did you enjoy it? How did you find it?
Well, it's good. I enjoy it. Yep, there's always plenty going on. The children are always up for doing things. They're never a quiet moment. Just
sure. I'm sure.
Plenty going on always.
And would you go back?
Yeah, well, if they want me.
Very good. Very, very good. Thank you. Good to be involved. It shows that at all sorts of ages and with all different types of interests, we can be involved in the Lord's work. Someone once said to me about young people's weekends that they're an early foretaste of heaven because there's no night there, because they never seem to go to bed. I don't know what it's like. Whenever you're away for a whole week, I'm sure folks were tired by the end of it. And finally, William, who in their right mind would want to get into the world of football management, I ask you? But William is involved, as you would know, because the church has had a long connection, and you've heard William on other occasions talk about the work of coaching for Christ. I'm just going to give him a moment or two, maybe to remind us again, if he likes, about what is coaching for Christ, what do they do, but especially I want him to share with us again this evening and update us on the little local team that we've started. And when I say we, I mean we as the church and we as Coaching for Christ have started here in the Clonavon district. But maybe a wee word or two, but just a wee reminder about Coaching for Christ first, William, thanks.
Well, Coaching for Christ is a Christian outreach which is based in the Hockle, and they seek to reach young people through football and sport. We have different centres. We have two in the Hockle, Collybaggy, Ballykeel and Ballyclare. And there's one in Newton Abbey as well. And we reach, I think it's a couple or 300 kids every week. And we get reaching them with the gospel. The football's great and the sport's great. But the primary reason we're there is to reach these young people with the good news of the gospel. Because many of them would have no church backgrounds or no church connections at all.
And it is once a week, in case the folks don't understand.
Oh, it's once a week.
Once a week training session.
Once a week training session. And it's a hard training session. Because we're hard taskmasters. And then we have our match every Saturday.
But as well as the training.
Well, the most important part of the night, and the boys know this, is the talks. And I have to admit, the guys with us never budge, never squeak. They just sit and listen, and they take it all in, and they'll answer any questions that you ask them. And they're just brilliant.
Well, enlighten us a wee bit more about our own group, the Clonavon FC. How many young fellows are involved? Where are they coming from? What contacts have you made?
Well, we started on the 12th of August. And I can remember us sitting in July at the meeting where we sat and somebody said at it that, I don't know if we could get a team for August or for September for the start of the league. And we thought, we prayed about it, we thought it was the right thing to do. And we went ahead and we did a lot of outreach, which there's a lot of people here helped us with, and we appreciate that. And on the first night of training, we had 14 boys, which is 11 boys and 3 subs, which is all we're allowed in the team. So that was just amazing. That was a real answer to prayer. We've now grown to up to 24 boys. There's quite a sprinkling from different areas. There's a good wee group from around here. There's some from Princess Street, Ballymoney Road, Collybaggy Road area, and it just keeps growing. There was 3 new guys there on Tuesday night past, just turned up. So keeps going like that. We'll need 2 teams.
And some of the young people have connections here with our own folks in the church, but
that's
many
right.
of them aren't. That's the point we've been able to reach.
Yeah, Joel is the only one we would have from our own church, and Joel's doing super. But it's these other guys, Cameron and Patrick and that from around the streets here, who never miss a night and are very well behaved and just really enjoy it. So
it's good to have made contact with
people. Absolutely. Right. Not only with the kids, it's also with the parents as well, because we've had a chance to explain what we're about and get a witness with them as well, and they're very much appreciative of everything we do. And long may it continue.
And you train weekly on a Tuesday night?
Tuesday night at the academy. That was another answer to prayer, because originally when we started, as you know, we have no hall to train in. We couldn't go out the back and get a ball out in that wee hall, or else we'd break windows galore. So we prayed about it, and thanks to Norman and that, we've got into the academy. And not only we have one hall, we've now 2 halls, because they've given us both gyms to use, so which we really need now because of the large numbers we're getting. So that's brilliant. And we play on Saturdays. Unfortunately, we had our first match yesterday.
Be honest, first match yesterday in the
well,
school was.
Now I know what Roy Walker feels like, because we're absolutely trounced. No, we were beating 8-3, but it seems it's just a silly thing to say, but I was really encouraged by the way they played. They'll only get better. It was a lot of their first times ever out on the pitch. And there they're up on the screen.
There's a picture of the
that's the squad yesterday. The 2 boys in the red weren't playing, but that's the team from yesterday. And I have to thank to with Colm and Rodney, and we've also Tim and Matthew. They have came on board and are a real big help to us. We really couldn't do without them.
Thanks, William. And our plan would be on a future occasion to get a further update on the work of Coaching for Christ, particularly our own little team, our own wee team, and the contact that's been made with the fellas, the enjoyment they get in the sport, and of course the message of the gospel being shared with them. In fact, we would trust that at some future occasion of a Sunday evening like this, we would encourage and have them along and their parents too. I know William and the fellas are thinking about that. It would be great to have them coming along and being here with us in a service, because it is a form of outreach and contact. And has made a very positive start. Thank you all four for sharing with us tonight. And before the minister would bring the announcements and go on to the remaining part of our service, let's just sing another hymn of the gospel together. 1127, please. 1127, which is a reminder of how God reached down. God so loved the world that he gave. He sent his son. He reached down. Christ left the splendors of heaven and took on human form. And he came to reach down and seek and save that which was lost. And that's captured in this particular hymn, which we'll stand and sing together.
Welcome to you tonight, and after this service, don't be rushing away. There's a cup of tea and a biscuit just in the back hall here. Please come through and just have a cup of tea for about 15 minutes or so before heading home. So that has been prepared. The announcements there, as you can see, on Tuesday night, it's the Tuesday night before our harvest services, which is always an outreach around the area here, and that will be, there's a choir practice at 7 o'clock, and the outreach is at the same time, so the choir will be practicing here while a team is out round the streets. So I hope as many as possible can come along for that. And then we usually come back, and maybe there's a cup of tea prepared for us, and then we just have a short time of prayer, committing that outreach to the Lord. On Wednesday night, the kids' clubs will resume at 6:30. So let's pray for the work among the young people. Next Saturday, will be the harvest preparations. The church will be opened here to receive harvest fare. And throughout the week, there's always those in who are quietly working away in preparing the church. And a big thank you for that. Next Sunday then is the 2nd of October. And we begin with a time of prayer at 9 o'clock. There's no Sunday school or Bible class. Then our harvest services, which we always look forward to. The Reverend Stephen Hanna from Lisburn Congregational will be the speaker in the morning. And the Reverend Harry Ray, all being well, because the nature of Harry's illness, he may be booked for months, but he could ring on the day to say that he's not able to come, but I have another plan B. But hopefully it'll be Harry Ray for the evening service. Don't forget the Mid-Antrim branch of the Gideons having their friends evening on Friday night in Bally Baptist Church at 7:30. The Reverend Tom Shaw is the speaker and Sam Bargewell is the soloist, and there'll be a supper provided at that service as well. And there are women's breakfast CDs available, and so you can see Darren about that. Next Sunday, of course, is also one of the gift days that we have in the year, and so we thank you for your extra giving next Sunday to help the work of the Lord in here and through here and reaching out to others. Now, as the offering is taken up, and we thank the group for playing today, and the choir is going to sing, People Need the Lord. Let's pray. When will people realize that they need the Lord? They try this, they try that, they try anything. And what people need is the Lord. They need to turn away from their sins. They need forgiveness of sins. That is the way to have peace. And O God, we pray that you'll bless your word tonight that is preached across the land. And may people find the Lord once they realize that they need the Lord. Thank you for what we have heard tonight. Thank you for those involved in Christian work, in all different kinds of Christian work. And there's others in the congregation that could tell as well what they have done over the summer. And we thank you that they will have an opportunity. We thank you for people getting involved in the work of the Lord. And so, Lord, encourage us in these days, we pray. Bless us now, we ask it in Jesus' name, these things. Amen. I'm going to ask Trevor now to come and read. And Trevor's going to read a few verses from Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 14.
I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting that what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize of which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless us straight into our hearts.
Thank you, Trevor. I'm going to sing just a few verses from 499. We'll just sing the first two verses. O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Saviour and my God. Just the first two verses for the sake of time. I'm just going to be about 5 to 10 minutes. It's a short message because plenty has been said already tonight, and I'll just close things off. And just thinking about the first hour of our services tonight, I just thought of testimony and having a testimony. And here's part of Paul's testimony. We know that some people can tell how they came to know the Lord, and some found the Lord in very strange circumstances. And there was Paul on the road to Damascus, and we know his story well. There was hatred in his heart towards the people of God, and the Lord Jesus took hold of him. He wasn't looking for the Lord. The Lord found him. He says here that Christ made him his own. And once Christ made him his own, Paul then lived for Christ. His life was completely changed. This was his happy day when he met the Saviour. A testimony is when you look back to the past to what you were before you were converted. Paul does this earlier on in chapter 3 from verse 4. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day, just 8 days after his birth, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, very strict, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Paul had a very strict religious upbringing. And there's some people who are converted from that background. Others are converted from a totally non-religious background. They may work alongside a Christian. They might be given a gospel tract or something like that. And there's the work of the Gideons, where the magazine would tell us of those at school who received the Gideon New Testament, and it's put in a school bag and taken home and maybe put in the drawer or put somewhere, and it's there for years. The young pupil then grows up to be an adult and comes to a point in their life when they begin to ask questions, and they find that little testament. Might even end up in prison. Might end up in hospital. And there's the Gideon Bible. Start to read. And they come to the Lord. Testimony. My own testimony is simple. I was saved when I was just 11 years of age. I'm not from a Christian home, but I'm from a church-going home. My parents took my two brothers, and then when my sister came along, it took us to church every Sunday. When Lisburn Congregational got a new minister in August 1969, he started to hold children's meetings on a Friday night from September. I went along to those meetings. I was the first one to be saved under his ministry. Towards the end of October in 1969, I was in P7. Just turned 11 years of age. I've never forgotten that happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Saviour and my God. And I can testify that I simply asked the Lord Jesus into my heart. I understood nothing else. I didn't know all the theology, all the ins and outs of theology. I just knew this, that I was a sinner. And I wasn't right before God. That's what I knew at 11 years of age. What else did I need to know to become a Christian? And I simply asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart and into my life. And of course, as any Christian is, a babe in Christ, you start to grow. You're encouraged to read your Bible. I was passed on little Scripture Union daily notes at that time. Read them every day. Got a hunger. Got a thirst to understand the Bible more. And that always stayed with me. My teenage years were spent going to meetings on a Saturday night up the Lisburn Christian Workers Union Hall. After church on a Sunday, raced up Bridge Street again for the Sunday night meeting. I was the youngest one to go to these meetings. Started to go to our church prayer meeting when I was 14 on a Thursday night. Meeting with older believers. Never thought anything in those days about the age gap or anything like that. I just knew that here are people who've been Christians for years and I can learn a thing or two. And I look back with great memories. Paul could look back to what he was before he was converted and look what he is doing now as he writes to these believers. He just had a hunger for God that I may know him. Oh, Paul did know him, but he wanted to know him better. He wanted to know him closer. That I may know him. And he wanted to experience Christ. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Paul had a future. Paul looked ahead. Paul was determined, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on. Oh, there were obstacles. There were people who would disappoint. There would be people, if you thought enough, would put you off. Oh, if that's Christianity, I want nothing to do with it. Paul says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The little team there that you saw at Clonavon, when that whistle blows to start the match, they press towards the goal. They want to get the ball in the net as many, in the goal as many times as they can. They press towards the goal. The goal here is used in a figurative sense, of course. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what it is to be a Christian. You have a future. Paul, in these words, isn't expressing a many thing of a meaningless existence. Paul is going somewhere. He's going somewhere in life. He's going somewhere after life. After this life. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now there's those in the congregation who have a testimony. Can remember that happy day. But some of you haven't got a testimony. Maybe this day will be your happy day. The 25th of September 2011. When you can say, 'tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. My mother was saved in November 1975 at a mission in Lisburn Congregational Church. This is just somebody else's testimony. It was the last night of a 3-week mission conducted by Pastor Val English. She was saved on the very last night, halfway through the sermon. Couldn't wait even to speak to him afterwards. And just about where Mrs. Leach is sitting there, if you can picture Lisburn, she was just sitting there in the middle and other people She simply bowed her head and she asked Jesus into her heart. The people sitting next to her didn't notice anything different that had happened. Didn't notice anything at all. She was just another one in the congregation. Val English didn't even notice anything that happened in the pulpit. But the great transaction was done. And she could say, I am my Lord's, and he is mine. That's 36 years ago. Other testimonies. How people have come to know the Lord. I trust that you will have that happy day. And you'll be able to say like Paul, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's sing number 272, the well-known words, I have decided to follow Jesus, and I hope you will. You have to, if you want to get to heaven, and if you want to avoid hell, you have to decide to follow Jesus. The world behind me, the cross before me, though none go with me, I still will follow. Will you decide now? That's the challenging question. To follow Jesus. No turning back. Thank you for our service tonight. Thank you for a Christian testimony. And we pray that there will be those who will come to have a Christian testimony. They will decide to follow Jesus and they'll be able to say, oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Saviour and my God. Lord, bless those who have to go home now and those that remain for a cup of tea. And thank you for supplying us another day with our daily bread. Part is in your fear and in your blessing. For Jesus' sake. Amen.